Outreach Mass, bringing Christ to mid-Michigan for 40 years.
Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Welcome to all on this 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Welcome also to all watching and listening from your homes. Thank you for worshiping with us today. For those who are unable to receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament today, let us pray an act of spiritual communion and ask for the graces of the Most Holy Eucharist. My Jesus, I believe that you are in the Blessed Sacrament. I love you above all things, and I long for you in my soul. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. As though you have already come, I embrace you and unite myself entirely to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Our presider for this liturgy is Father Gordon. This Mass is being offered for Art Paisley.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Amen.
A reading speak of the power of humility. When we humble ourselves, God exalts us. When we call on the Lord hears the cry of the poor. And so as we come to celebrate these sacred mysteries, let us not come in our pride or self-righteousness or our self-contentment, but let us dig into our brokenness, our want, our need, our sinfulness, and call on God's grace to fill us and to heal us. I confess to Almighty God
and to you, my brothers and sisters,
Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of
Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, increase our faith, hope, and charity, and make us love what you command, so that we may merit what you promise through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Sirach. The Lord is a God of justice, who knows no favorites. Though not unduly partial toward the weak, yet he hears the cry of the oppressed. The Lord is not deaf to the wail of the orphan, nor to the widow when she pours out her complaint. The one who serves God willingly is heard. His petition reaches the heavens. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. It does not rest till it reaches its goal, nor will it withdraw till the Most High responds, judges justly and affirms the right, and the Lord will not delay. The word of the Lord.
In the Lord, my soul shall make its boast.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, I am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. At my first defense, no one appeared on my behalf, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat and will bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance, would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Have you ever made the mistake of praying for patience? You know what happens. the exact opposite thing of the one you want. Angelic beings intuit. An angel would just look at something, and in its angelic brilliance and intelligence would immediately understand every facet, every outcome, every conclusion. Angels understand all languages simply by looking at them. There we go, I know it. Immediately memorized it, understood it perfectly. We are not angels. We are experiential learners. We learn by practice, by trial and error, by making mistakes, and by repetition. Practice makes perfect. And so unfortunately, when we pray for patience, the most logical outcome is that the Lord will send us opportunities to practice patience. That's why we might want to think of how we exactly phrase that prayer. We might want to think of phrasing that a little bit more carefully. Similarly, our readings talk about humility today, and humility, maybe even more than talking about it as a virtue, it's like the ground for all virtue. And similar to patience, to grow in humility, you have to practice being humbled. To grow in humility requires humiliations and humiliators who poke our pride, our self-reliance, and show us the reality, hold the mirror to our faces, and help us to see things as they really are, to see clearly, to overcome our pride, our vanity, our self-reliance, our self-will. And yet we need humility in our walk of faith. So I don't have any better recommendation than to just suck it up and pray for humility. It will come with painful lessons, but it's necessary. To understand humility, we can take a look at what is its opposite, right? Virtues oppose vices. One is a corrective measure to the other. And humility is the correction to pride. Now, of the seven deadly sins, pride is the capital sin. Pride is the numero uno. Pride has myriad facets. My will, my way, my choice, my rights, my entitlements, my desires, my hopes, my dreams. It has a million different little facets of self-will and pride and vanity and arrogance and haughtiness and boasting and anger at everybody else who gets in the way or interferes with that. Pride is the sin of the devil. The devil chooses against God's will, God's commandments, God's order. Pride is the mark of the devil. The devil says, better to reign in hell on my own terms than to serve in heaven on God's terms. And that's the danger of pride. As much as we would want to have life completely on our own terms as we see fit, since our ways are not God's ways, the more we choose our will over God's will, the further our road departs from the way of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And pretty soon we find ourselves on that proverbial road which is wide open and easy to travel but leads to destruction, as Jesus says. So we always have to watch for pride. Pride is ugly when you encounter it. Nobody likes to be the victim of somebody else's boasting and arrogance, but it's always enviable, right? In so many ways, look at our modern culture and the people that we idolize and we envy. They're the people who live by their own rules, who flaunt, who bend every rule in their own favor. Those people are easy to envy. You look at them and they're like, oh, they get away with everything. It's like the Frank Sinatra song, I Did It My Way. Deep in our heart, we kind of admire them, maybe envy them a little bit, because they get away with all the things that maybe we wouldn't. And so that's the ugliness of pride. It sort of tempts us into wanting to live a more worldly life. Humility opposes that. And often humility gets a bad rap. Jesus is meek and humble of heart, and meekness in a worldly view looks like weakness, but it isn't. It really takes great strength not to punch back, not to respond in kind, to respond with mercy and forgiveness when insulted. That really requires tremendous strength. It's not weakness at all. It's not cowardice. Humility is the ability to see things as God sees them. See it for what it is. Our world obsesses about wealth and honor and power and pleasure. Look at me, look at me. And our social media is all often a celebration of all the things we're doing, which is nice. We get to share it with our friends and our family, but so oftentimes it's, hey, look at me, look what I'm doing. And humility is all about seeing it as God sees it. Do we value it the way that God values it? God does not put a lot of stock in wealth, honor, power, and pleasure. Jesus was humble, obedient to God's will, the Father's will to a fault. Those are the things he treasured: simplicity and love and charity and mercy. Those are not the things the world cherishes. Humility recognizes it for its true value. Humility keeps us grounded, and that's the root of the word, to be grounded, to see things clearly, to want what God wants, to desire what God desires, knowing that we are created in the image and likeness of God. And who better to teach us to become our best selves than Jesus, who is true God and true man, who is the perfection of our humanity, the perfection of our image and likeness of God in human form. And so it's to imitate Jesus. That's the beauty of humility. Jesus is the perfection of humility. To imitate him brings us about that, to oppose the devil, to oppose the devil's pride, and all those things that lead us astray. Humility in this beautiful gospel, it's a parable. Again, it's a parable. All parables are meant to be a gut punch. They're meant to have a surprise. Now, the Pharisees get a bad rap in our gospels, but to the people of Israel, right, the Pharisees are the ones who are practicing the law as best they can. And so the Pharisee, you would expect, would be the hero of the story. The tax collector is a scandal. He's a hot mess. He's a public sinner. He's a traitor to the nation. Who likes tax collectors? They are taking the funds of the people of God and giving it to the pagans, to the Roman authority. So you should root for the Pharisee and not the tax collector. And Jesus flips that all on its head, which is the part of shocking the crowd. But to bring it to mind, it's not our own self-righteous, our own self-contentment, our own self-evaluation that counts. We don't recommend ourselves to God. God sees us for what we're at. And humility, as shown by the tax collector, is to see that we're sinners and we need a Savior. We need mercy. We need grace. We need healing. We have wounds, physical and spiritual. We need a Savior. And the tax collector doesn't even dare to raise his eyes to the heaven to look at the Lord. He just bows his head, beats his breast, confesses that he's a sinner, and calls on God's mercy. And Jesus says, that's the kind of person who receives God's mercy, the person who asks in all humility, who sees rightly, not the person who recommends himself. Hey, have you seen what I'm doing today? Pat on the back. So there's a good lesson in that. And just to think about our prayer. Do we pray with that kind of trust, that kind of surrender, that kind of reliance on the Lord? Like in the Our Father, as Jesus teaches us that sort of reliance, that complete reliance on the Lord. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Or do we only pray from the heart when we're desperate? I love that saying, when all else fails, read the instructions. Because that's how I assemble things. I always like a good puzzle. Like, I wonder if I can build this without having to read the instructions. And then I always find in 10 steps later that I should have backed up and read the instructions. When all else fails, read the instructions. God designed it all. When we come to the Lord, we're inviting God to show us how it was meant to be, that we get the fullness out of it. We probably all have a Matthew Kelly book on the shelf somewhere, right? Matthew Kelly writes all sorts of things about the Christian way of life, and he's always talking about becoming your best self, becoming who God created you to be, becoming a saint. How do you become your best self without seeking how God created it, without knowing God's will, God's ways, God's prerogatives, God's plans, God's commandments? Humility leads us to that. And so when we come to Mass, this is our opportunity to surrender to God, to recognize our brokenness, to recognize our need, our longing, our want, our emptiness, and to bring it to the Lord. And when those gifts come forward shortly, those gifts of bread and wine, they are symbolic of us. Just quietly in the depths of your heart, whether you say it in words or not, give your life to the Lord. Lord, with these gifts I offer myself. You know what I am, but I give myself to you. I surrender. And when those gifts of bread and wine are raised by the hand of the priest and the consecration to transform them into something infinitely greater, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, say, Lord, transform me, sinner that I am, that it might be pleasing in your sight. And then when we receive communion, to say, Lord, I understand, I am what I eat. Come into my heart, perfect that image and likeness of God. Come, be welcome, change me, change my life. I give you authority over it all. Let thy will be done. The Mass shows us how we are to respond to the Lord with the very self-surrender that Jesus shows when he gives his life to the Father at the Last Supper. And again, the Eucharist and that Eucharistic prayer is all about the Last Supper. Jesus saying, this is my body broken, my blood outpoured. He makes a sacrifice of himself to God the Father for the salvation of the world. And he wants us not only to participate, but to imitate. Lord, everything you've given me is a gift. Help me to use it as you would, not as I would. What do I know? I wasn't there when the world got created. I don't understand these things fully. And I certainly don't understand all the spiritual ramifications. And so as we live this Mass, we hear those words of Jesus spoken through the mouth of the priest, that we make our own surrender, our own self-offering, invite the Lord to transform us, to lift us up, and to fill us with his grace and his own divine life. How often I hear, especially sometimes with young people, they'll say, you know, Mass is boring. I don't get anything out of it. And all I can say is self-fulfilling prophecy. You're right. If you come to church like it's entertainment, you will probably be disappointed. I'm not that interesting. If you come to just sit there through it, you probably will leave the same way you entered, unchanged, unmoved. But if you come with a heart open to being transformed and not self-content, if you come with your emptiness and your brokenness and your sinfulness and you say, Lord, I need you. I need a Savior. Change me. Transform me. Heal me. Forgive me. Show me mercy. When we bring that attitude to it and surrender along with Jesus, who surrenders completely to the will of the Father unto death, then we come to new life. Then we're going to come from our Good Fridays and our crosses to a beautiful rising again, a healing, an Easter, a resurrection. That's what the Mass is meant to be. Entering into the self-offering of God the Son to God the Father for the salvation of the world and for our salvation. That's what humility leads us to do. Don't imitate the devil, self-will, pride, arrogance, I know better. I did it my way. Humility. The humility, the meekness, the obedience that we see in Jesus. That is the thing to imitate.
And yes, to grow in humility will probably require a certain amount of humiliation just to poke and break our pride and our vanity. It comes with the territory. It's not the thing we enjoy, but if that's what leads us to healing, if that's what leads us to sainthood, if that's what leads us to eternal life and the kingdom, then so be it. Let us stand and profess our faith. We pray, I believe.
One God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father from the Lord Jesus, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial of the Father, through him all things are made, for us and for our salvation.
Trusting that the Lord listens to all of our prayers, let us bring before him our petitions for all people.
For all priests, may the Lord continue to form them into holy and wise shepherds of his flock. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For peace in the world, may the Holy Spirit bring understanding and reconciliation to places where there is war and conflict. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who feel helpless, may God restore their faith and trust in his loving providence. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all of us gathered here, may the grace of the Eucharist embolden us to share the gospel with all whom we meet. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all afflicted by physical or mental illness, may the Lord bring them consolation and healing, especially Catherine Levesque, Gary Woodbury, Diane Bouts, our television and radio online community, and those listed in our book of prayer. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our beloved dead, as they lived in Christ in this life, may he bring them safely to his heavenly kingdom in the next, especially Nancy Passanante and all the holy souls in purgatory. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, hear these humble prayers we have offered and answer them, we ask, in accordance with your holy will, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, whose love in all our service,
Please stand and pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Look, we pray, O Lord, on the offerings we make to your majesty, that whatever is done by us in your service may be directed above all to your glory, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, almighty and eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For out of compassion for the waywardness that is ours, he humbled himself and was born of the Virgin. By the passion of the cross, he freed us from unending death, and by rising from the dead, he gave us life eternal. And so with angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, with all the hosts and the powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory, as without end we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, O Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and the working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. But this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and, giving you thanks, he said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection, and ascension into heaven. And as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray upon the oblation of your church and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself. Grant that we, who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit, may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all of the saints at whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and the salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth with your servant, Leo, our Pope, and Earl, our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you in your compassionate, merciful Father. Gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Lord, we pray from every evil, graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we wait the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Thank you.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord,
thank you.
Let us stand and pray. May your sacraments, O Lord, we pray, perfect in us what lies within them, that what we now celebrate in signs, we may one day possess in truth. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless and keep you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go announce the gospel of the Lord.
Amen.
Let us go forth singing number 853, All People That on Earth Do Dwell, number 853.
Thank you, my friends, for joining us for the Outreach Mass. Certain saints have certain patronages. Think of St. Anthony of Padua. He is the patron saint for finding lost articles, has an uncanny knack for finding your lost car keys. When it comes to the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Blessed Mother can answer anything. She has an unfailing patronage, or intercession, we might want to say. And so if you would please pray a Hail Mary for the Outreach Mass, for our community, for our staff, for our mission and ministry. And if you're able to support us financially, you may send checks to the Outreach Mass, 955 Alton Road, East Lansing, Michigan, 48823. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. And may God bless and keep you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.